Hello there, and welcome back to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show
Season 3. Season 3.
That was pretty good. Wait, that was actually really, really great. Happy Friday, you guys. We are back, and we actually have an audience for the first time.
We have interns.
Say hello so we don't seem like we're crazy. Hi. And then we have Franceli, who's over there moving all the cameras, all the fun stuff. I'm excited, but I'm also a little nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Can you believe it's been over 1 year?
Wow.
Since the last time we actually released the podcast.
It's bittersweet, I would say. I wasn't expecting us to be long, be gone for that long. Mm. We were just at the cusp of releasing offline. We had already released a few products, right? At that time.
I think the only products that we had released around that time was the tea.
It was the tea. And I remember I was stepping back from even being on camera. Sabina had to replace me like 2 times. And then I remember having a conversation with you and I was like, I think we're just too busy and we need to put more focus into offline humans. So I guess we're going to catch you guys up on where we've been, what we've been up to, and why we decided to come back, right?
So yeah, so this is season 3 of the Natalie and Dennis Show.
Yay! Episode, can we get an applause for that, girl?
Episode 65.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God. Okay, we got a good crowd out here. Hey!
So I don't know about you, but in my mind, I wanted to complete that promise that we had had, that it was 100 episodes of the Natalie and Dennis Show. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, we had to get offline humans to a certain point where we felt like it was comfortable enough for us to continue the podcast again.
Exactly. Yeah. We had promised you guys 100 episodes and then slowly but surely, I don't know, like we traveled to Japan for a little bit during that time. And then I think after that, a lot of things sort of just went a little bit downhill, but also behind the scenes where we were creating such like beautiful things. So
How did we manage with the business and going to Japan? Who shipped out orders?
We didn't have the business yet. We were just like in the creating phases. Like we were still getting orders. I think at that time we didn't even have the Best Me journals.
I think we only have the digital.
Yeah, we only had the digital. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. And actually the other day I was at the gym and literally like mid, I don't know what, 360 burpees or something. We do crazy stuff at F45. My friend was like, Natalie, how many SKUs of products do you have now? And it was almost like a moment for me. It wasn't like we have so many now, which is kind of crazy to think about.
We have
the evolution.
Like a crazy amount of products from what I thought we would have at the beginning. I thought it was just going to be like a journal and that was it.
Yeah. And
And we have so many more that are coming out very soon too.
I'm excited. But yeah, I guess to kind of catch you guys up a little bit, should we start with the Disney opportunity and what happened there?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Yeah. So I feel like Dennis and I have always kind of considered ourselves like little islands. And what I mean by that is with YouTube being like the primary thing that I've always done, everybody lived in LA. Right. So I feel like a lot of people were collaborating and doing things together, whereas like we were mostly here.
Yes.
We did have a year. We moved to LA. And then guess what?
COVID
hit. And it was awful. We felt very alone. And we were actually there for more than a year. We recently accounted for that.
It was like a year and four or 5 months.
And so we decided to come back. But I guess the reason why I say we've always been sort of like islands is because a lot of our growth has been very like in-house. It's been very like you, myself, really struggling, building a team.
It's that hard grind.
Yeah.
Like internal muscle.
Yeah. Having that vision, reaching out to people, literally pitching ourselves for agencies, pitching ourselves for managers. Like it's never been handed to us. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that
even to a certain extent, even the podcast today,
totally,
even to this day, it's that way because we woke up early to set up the podcast.
Yeah.
Our interns are here because we reached out to get interns. Like it's very you and I and now Franceli.
Yeah. Thank God for Franceli. Can we give a round of applause for Franceli? Hey, cause she keeps the social media going.
She's been an integral part in the business,
which I'm excited to jump into that in a little bit, but basically going back to the Disney opportunity, we got reached out to by a beautiful woman named Aaliyah at Disney. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Natalie, we'd love for you to come out to the Goofy premiere. So it was like a 3-day event.
So it is an event. It's an expo called D23 for Disney.
Yeah.
We're not big Disney people. Like I don't know. My mom has worked at Disney for like 15 plus years.
You would think we would be.
Yeah.
Like since we're literally 15 minutes away.
Yeah, we live in Orlando or whatever, but yeah. We got invited to D23 and so we ended up going.
Yeah. It was a really amazing event.
Yeah. And so, I mean, getting down to it, I asked Aaliyah, how did you come in contact with us? Right. Mm-hmm. And then her response was like, oh, I used to watch your podcast.
Yes. And that was a moment for us because to be honest with all of you, the podcast has been probably one of the hardest things that we've had to do because it's so much uplift.
It really is.
Even today, just the prep, there's scripts involved. This was pre ChatGPT.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
65 episodes. No ChatGPT.
No ChatGPT. The sadness. What else? Yeah. And then when we did have, let's say when we had Davi here, you know, he was a part of the team as well at that time. Mm-hmm. And we make zero money from the podcast. So yeah. It's the one area in the life where we were like, we kind of have to reassess a little bit, but we really love that audience. And
this is a love letter.
Yes.
To the audience.
Truly. This is a love letter to you guys. No, seriously. Like this is the community that is just like always amazing and just like very real. You guys know a lot about us. I mean, you sit here for an hour with us a lot of the times.
Yeah.
When we've gone through like comments, you guys would engage like towards the very end of all of the season's conversations. But anyways, long story short, when Aaliyah did say that, we had a little bit of a moment where we were like, really? Like the podcast? I was like, you never knew me from what? Like anything else?
She didn't know us.
She was like, no, I didn't even know.
Nothing. It was just podcast.
Yeah. And then she was like, so when's it coming back? And I feel like we get this question a lot again, like almost every single week. So it was just a moment.
I went back into the podcast account because I hadn't signed into it in a long time. First comment, you guys are liars. You said you're going to get to episode 100.
That's real.
Where are you guys?
Thank you so much for keeping it real. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here we are. So here we are again.
Showing up.
Yeah. And then after that, so basically like that opportunity then led to another opportunity. We got invited to Levi's headquarters.
Yes.
And that was so amazing.
In San Francisco, you went.
In San Francisco to celebrate Toy Story's 30th anniversary. And I got to go to Pixar's HQ, which was also very like iconic. But I guess the reason I mentioned the whole, like we've always been little islands is because I also don't say yes to a lot of things. And I think it's a lot in my nature. I tend to be surprisingly a shy person. I don't really love to, like, if I could choose to be on camera or behind the scenes, I would do behind the scenes. Mm. So there's a lot of things where I really have to get like out of my comfort to do. So saying yes to that opportunity led to the Pixar and Levi's opportunity, which then is going to lead us to another opportunity. Should we tell them now or after?
I think we need to wait, but it does involve the podcast.
It does involve the podcast.
And it does involve Disney. So it's going to be very unique.
I don't know, guys.
Very special opportunity that we are capable of getting.
So we'll see. But yeah, here we are again.
The journey's been long.
It has.
For offline humans.
It really has. But, you know, one thing I was thinking is because I remember a lot of like the names of people that would comment. So like, for example,
what are we referring to?
Nicole here in the podcast.
Yeah.
Nicole Simone. Mm-hmm. Hey girl, are you still there?
Nicole, you alive girl?
Cause she was so iconic. One time, I don't know how this happened. We released a podcast that was an unlisted link.
It was private.
And she found it.
I don't know how.
And she was
that.
The first comment.
Yeah.
So I think a new little tradition I want to do here is if you are the first person to listen to the podcast on YouTube specifically, because you can comment, I think it'd be really great if we started something where maybe like, I don't know, they comment like happy Friday. I'm the first. And then remember last time we had like a little, card that was like, thank you so much to so-and-so for being the first.
Oh,
so maybe like in the next episode, whoever comments first on this one, we will do like a fun little like
sign.
Hey,
thank you.
I think that might be a cool little tradition for us.
Nicole got a bit too comfortable. I gotta say, I remember Nicole purchased a Best Fiend journal.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
The digital though?
No, the physical. So she bought one and she hand wrote a note within the website and said, "Hey Dennis, I know you're packing this, but can you hold this for a month and then ship it?"
I remember that.
I was like, what?
And we did.
Implementing demands and everything.
No, she was really iconic. So, yeah,
and we actually held it and we shipped it out 1 month after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You want to talk about offline humans in general? Just like where we're at with this, where it's going, mm-hmm. you know, was the reason why we came up with it.
Totally. Yeah. So offline humans started as basically a realization that I started having in my own life where, you know, I've been doing YouTube and content creation for, is it 11 years or 10? I always forget.
I think 11. At
something
point.
Like that. I don't know. I'm a dinosaur in like digital age. And I sort of started realizing that like, I couldn't disconnect anymore. You know, my real life was very much meshed with my online life. And just in general, like, I don't know, I'd go to family reunions and you'd see people on their phones and like everything's shifted a lot. And I wanted a world where it wasn't like that anymore. Right. So with offline humans, we tend to really promote a lot of like offline living, nostalgia. What was it like before these very slim phones that are now interconnected and connect us to everybody in the world? It's not to say that social media is a bad thing. It's just that I believe in having certain boundaries to it. So what started from that is basically just certain products that hopefully will lead us into events. Like that's really where I want to go. And now a book that's coming out literally next Tuesday. So Offline Humans, the book.
Offline Humans, the book coming out October 7th.
Yeah.
You can pre-order it. But I do think it's going to be out by the time we release this podcast.
I'm so nervous for that because yesterday we were just talking about how, was it Francili that was asking us? I think, right? She was like, "Oh, where can I get the book?"
Yeah.
And
we said everywhere.
You can get it everywhere. You can get it in stores.
Target, Walmart, Books A Million, Barnes and Nobles.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. I still feel like that's not real, even though it's in the contract.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Next week, I'll have a moment.
Imagine what it's like to like walk into a Barnes and Nobles and like it is the book. You can actually see it there.
Yeah. So that's that.
So I did have a question. I have a bunch of questions.
But yeah, let's get into it.
We can answer these together. So the first one was, looking back, what moment with offline humans made you feel like, wow, this is bigger than just content?
Wow, this is bigger than just content. I would say for me, I've been like on this journey by myself a lot of the times, right? Like, I don't think I hired an editor until I was 5 years into YouTube. And I had 3 channels at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing everything myself. I was producing, I was editing, I was scripting, I was managing and negotiating my own brand deals and all of that. So I think now, like, for example, that I can lean on other people like you, Francili, and you guys, honestly, the interns, they're like, no, seriously, like, it's amazing for me to be able to now work with others when I was so used to just being by myself.
Yeah.
Now a lot of the pressure isn't just on me, because I think I used to feel a lot of pressure.
I agree.
You know?
I think for me, when I realized it was bigger than just content, is like the physical and manual labor behind packing. Just like, it's such a warehouse type of, you know, style of work, and just like the logistics of creating product and everything. And then like people rating it, reviewing it, getting it, opening it, like that entire process isn't like content. Like, content is like on very phone, but that is like physical. That is a completely different aspect of like, whoa.
How many times have we sat here and like Franzelli will be like, "Oh my God, somebody just reviewed it like on TikTok." And we'll all sit there and be like,
"Well,
there's a real person."
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like this for every comment. There's always been very positive, but it's still very surreal to see people review it and like a product that there's always so much BTS, right?
Yeah.
That people don't necessarily see. And you're right. Like, you're up packing orders till I don't even know.
2-3.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And with that, I also want to say the logistics side of it. I think you've also stepped into a new role, but I'll let you answer that question first before I get into
I did answer it.
You answered it?
Logistics, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For you, I was going to say like you were always very much somebody that would help me with my content.
Yeah.
But now you're wearing so many hats. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you are speaking, you're speaking to all the manufacturers, right? Yeah.
I do the lives. I do the packing.
Day-to-day negotiations with like everything.
Emails. All,
so you're doing, here's the thing. Like now the business has been split between Natalie's outlet, which is more of a content creation hub. Business. Yeah. Hub. And now it's Offline Humans, which is a consumer product first business. Mm-hmm. They're two separate businesses. They're like, even the way you think about and operate day to day, I'm usually split with two different things. And I know you as well.
Oof.
Right?
Yes.
So, very much. But I will say, thank goodness for knowing what Natalie's outlet, like understanding that operations for a little bit, because now it has made it easier for me to create systems for Offline Humans, you know, work with other people, I think be a better leader and all of the above. So,
yeah, I think it's also gotten me to do things that I normally wouldn't have done, like lives on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Have been really big.
Yeah. And that's been so cool. Like you literally will pack live somebody's order. Like how great is that? And like, if they have an issue, you can literally do it right on the spot. And the other thing with lives, I just want to mention, because I'm like obviously in the world of creating, mm-hmm. right? So I see a lot of audiences. When I say audiences, I guess like TikTok people just like posting on TikTok being like, I don't understand why people like Michelle Phan are doing lives. Like that's so tacky, blah, blah, blah. Girl, it's a whole ass business.
People just don't understand.
People don't understand. The biggest lives in China, which they're like 10 years ahead of us, are making 8 million a week.
8 million a week?
A week.
Wow.
Yeah. Now that lady is literally like, she has like a team of like, I don't know how many. And she's like this one, two. Oh, yeah. And people are buying from that live. Like yeah,
she's the one that has that one assistant who's consistently giving her the dresses and she
it's crazy. Puts them on, takes them off. Have you guys seen that by any chance? Franzili, have you seen that? That live lady?
Yeah, I have. I have seen very similar.
But. It's so quick, like the way she's doing it. And so you get to really engage with like that audience now. I think that's been really fun. And then also just like answer in real life questions. So that's been awesome.
Yeah, I think the general next step for us was creating a brand, releasing product. But it wasn't just like merch, you know, I always like we did the whole merch thing when we did the tour.
We did merch and then our company went under.
Well, that company. Merch company, not our company.
Yeah, that merch company went under. This week we were talking to the interns about that, right? How like we never got to own that, those contacts, I guess, if you will. Whereas now when we're building our own thing, like we have all the email subscribers, we have all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
but that's how it is with all social media, because if you really think about it, you never really own your followers. Instagram does.
Yeah, that's YouTube true. Does. Yeah. You have to look at it that way.
You know, the meat of it is actually on the website. And I've told the interns before, it's very important to grow your email list because those are the actual contacts that you hold.
Yeah. And it feels so outdated though. Like to be honest, when I remember as I was reading some books about like TikTok shopping and things like that, or even just looking at girls who have now created their own businesses and they're like, email is where it's at. Like a lot of people will have more email subscribers than actual Instagram followers. And I mean,
email is valuable.
Yeah. It's very valuable.
Valuable. And obviously no one's going to breach any like data stuff or like, you know, rules. Cause you know, you can't sell emails, but exactly. They are like our treasure. It's very important. Right.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, just think about it. When TikTok shut down, you know, how many creators were out of a career cause they couldn't get their videos in front of people.
What was that for? Like 24 hours?
Everyone went crazy.
I had a little moment too. I posted on Instagram and I was like, you guys, I was on live with Jeff. Well, not, I wasn't on his live, but I was watching
Jeffree Star.
I was watching Jeffree Star's live and I went down with him and he's like, guys, we're going black right now. And then bam, it was gone. Do you guys remember that moment?
Yeah.
It was pretty intense. Like it was kind of crazy to think about.
What about those creators that posted like, I don't know.
The sad things?
No, things that they were like, oh, you guys aren't going to see me again. I'm just going to like blurt things out that I shouldn't.
Oh, that was, that was interesting.
And then it came back. It's kind of like those people that say the world's ending and then the day passes and then people are like, what's up? Didn't you just say that the world was going to end?
Yeah. Rapture talk. Yeah. I'm not in that yet, but I've seen it. You told me about it.
Don't even get in there.
Yeah.
It's really not worth
it. No, I mean, it hasn't surfaced on my stuff yet.
It's not going to. Rapture passed.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. We're in the next life right now.
Well, the Bible says nobody knows the time or the day, not even Jesus. So anyways.
Deep. So overall, what I want to ask you, and this is a question that I've had here and I want to also answer because I'm curious, how has having Offline Humans changed your relationship with your audience?
Well, I think it's always like it puts a name to a face in a weird way, mm-hmm. because like with YouTube, you know, you see the views, but then it's like, who are the actual people? And it's not until somebody comes up to you and is like, oh my God, I watch your channel. You know, that you're mm-hmm. like, oh, interesting. You know, or like if you do meetups that people come out, then you're like, oh, there's like real people. But I feel like with offline humans, it's different because it's a different audience. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say? It's like, it's very few, far and few that follow me from Natalie's outlet. And I think that is actually where I want it to go. Like, wouldn't it be great if people that find offline humans find it for the ethos and what we're about versus like, oh, this is Natalie's brand? I think that would be the end
goal.
That
was the idea originally in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Like that offline humans can transcend mm-hmm. past Natalie's outlet. And that eventually some person buys the journal just because they saw their friend have it and take mm-hmm. it to school and they thought it was nice and they bought it completely unrelated mm-hmm. and not knowing that we are the creators of it.
And that's happened. Like actually something that I'm like, oh, maybe we didn't do such a good job. Cause there's always regrets, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, maybe we didn't do such a good job at this campaign. So for example,
like separation.
Yeah. So for example, like we released our very first collab with Choco Lab and Offline Humans. It's this adorable Tumblr, you guys. It's so cute. And what ended up happening with this is we had a few people be like, Natalie, they're copying your design. And it's like, wait a minute, this isn't my design. This is Choco Lab. We mm-hmm. we collaborated with the brand. Or I had a friend who literally was at Disney and she was like, I saw somebody with your like with your offline human Tumblr. I didn't get a chance to take a picture of it, but I saw it and I was like, oh, that's not really mine. We collaborated.
You know what? It could have been. It could have actually been.
No. It was because she said that it had offline
humans.
Yeah, but then she was like, hey, this is.
I got it. They contributed the water bottle.
Exactly.
As being our idea.
Yeah. So I don't remember what were we talking about exactly? Why I attributed it to that?
Interaction with audience.
Oh, yeah. It's just different audiences, I think.
To me, it's when I ship a product out and I take that moment to look at the address. Sometimes the packing is so fast, I don't look at where it's going. Mm-hmm. It's just like, blah, 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 whatever the product and then the person. Okay. It matches. I'm shipping it out. Right. But then sometimes I do stop and I'm like, damn, this is going to Oregon.
Yeah.
This is going to Washington.
The crazy ones are the international ones.
Japan.
Yeah. When we released our, one of our products, I think like the first few, right. Yeah. It was Japan. And I remember looking at that. I was like, wait, actually Japan. Yeah. Yesterday we did a UK one.
Ireland.
Yeah. Which I was going to say something with that. The reason we created the digital and we updated the digital one was because it honestly pains me to see international buyers purchase a journal with $100 shipping. Like it pains me to see that.
The thing is that I have to go country by country and put the shipping mm-hmm. and there's just no way. Like I tried to do like the top five, top six. And even then the shipping is very expensive.
Yeah. So as a small business, like those are the little things that we have to sort of like weigh a lot of the time. It's like, you know, we do want to make our products international, but there is a cost, unfortunately, for that distance. But you heard it here on the podcast. If you are international and you purchase from us, I usually throw in something extra. Like yesterday I gave her pens. I gave her stickers. I don't know what else I gave her. Handwritten note, because I was like, girl, $100 for shipping? Like, that's crazy. But you know, she got four journals.
So I didn't want to say this, but she actually paid less shipping than what it is. And we actually covered about $20 of shipping.
Oh, there you go. To me, it's worth it.
Yeah. What is something that you've learned about yourself since becoming a brand owner versus a content creator?
Mm. I think that I don't give myself as much credit because I think I'm actually doing a better job at leading than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I say that because when I first started like Natalie's Outlet and when I was hiring people, I was a terrible leader.
I agree.
I was awful. But I was awful because I had never really like before YouTube, I only worked one other job and it was at my freaking school. Mm-hmm. So I never really had like a manager to look up to. And I think I wish I would have taken more jobs to know what it was like to be a good manager or like if you deal with things, I don't know, just like be an empathetic person. Like I think I had to learn a lot of that through trial and error with actual people. And that's awful. Mm-hmm. Like when you have to do that. So I think now with offline humans, like I'm really proud that yes, I've had that under my belt. So I feel more confident in doing that. But like, how come nobody trains you to do this stuff? Like, I went to business school. Nobody taught me how to like manage people or I don't know, like just a lot of this is people skills. Like, how are you with others? How do you treat other people? Are you a kind human being? Like, can you separate personal from business? Like, a lot of it is that. And I work with you too. You're my husband. Hello. So it's like, we have a lot of that separation we have to do. Like, after it's five, it's like, oh, hey.
Hey, again. I'm here still. Hey. I'm not leaving.
Yeah, you're not leaving. But it's like, it's sort of like that balance. What yeah. about yourself? What's something that you have learned that has changed?
I have to be so much more go-getter as a brand owner.
Yeah.
Like, a product will not exist if I don't go and make it happen.
That right? is so real.
And the thing is, though, it's like the same with content creation. Because if like you have this fantastic idea for a short or a story or a long form piece of content and you don't go film it, it's not going to get made. But it's the same thing with the brand, but it's a product. It's like a physical thing, right? You said, hey, I really want highlighters. And I was like, okay, that's easy. And then you're like, but they got to be pastel. And I was like, oh.
And they got to have glitter.
And I was like, oh. And you're like, oh, and they can't have transfer. And I was like, oh. It just made it harder and harder and harder. Right?
Yeah.
And then now that we have it and it's coming out at the end of the month, it's so much more rewarding.
So excited.
Because we actually made it a thing. But going back to like managing and hiring and working with people.
Yeah.
I do really feel bad for people that work with us at the beginning.
Truly. Like,
I feel so bad for them.
Me too.
Sabina, we're sorry.
Yeah, we're sorry, Sabina.
You and everybody else. A lot of issues.
Yeah, she helped us grow though.
And everything.
Yeah.
We actually texted her recently.
I did. I was like, girl, thank you so much for like everything. She's like, that meant a lot. Yeah. No, but I mean, I think that's the other thing that you have to realize, that it's kind of like the quote of that like, this is your first time living life. Like, this is my first time doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they always say that you are. So, for example, Offline Humans is 1 year old in physical product.
Yeah.
So we're 1 year old.
That
like
is
I'm a 1 year old baby. Managing this.
I'm just a baby.
I'm just a little baby. Now with Natalie's Outlet, okay, I'm 10 years. Okay, that's a little bit more. I have like a little bit more up my sleeve. But I wanted to go back to your point about like, you said you have to put in so much more effort for the Offline Humans.
Oh, yeah.
I think just what people don't realize when you have a product business is the overhead is so much higher. Because think about like the digital side of things, Natalie's Outlet, right?
Yeah.
I'm the talent, meaning I don't have to really, like, I pay myself out of what we make, but it's like,
it's your time.
It's my time. Yeah. Right. Then it's like, okay, you just kind of film with like a camera. You can outsource like editing, you can outsource things like that. But then like brand deals are so lucrative in the creator space that it's just like, if you're just, like sometimes I saw a TikTok the other day that's like brand owners are miserable half the time. And that's because it's when it's bad, it's really bad. And when it's good for a little bit. But I say that because
content creation didn't bring me this much stress.
Yeah. That's real.
It's because you invest and you get the money back way later. Mm-hmm. It's not like content creation where you don't really spend, you just kind of make.
Yeah. Right. And then can we talk about customer support, which I don't manage. Francely, you want to speak to that a little bit?
Mrs. Support at offlinehumans.com.
Yeah. She's a real person behind all these messages.
How's it been, Francely?
It has been fun. I've learned a lot, actually, because I don't have a great temper, but this has
really
helped me a lot. So I feel really proud about myself.
Oh, wow. I'm proud of you. I actually, I've thought that you've been a very emotionally intelligent person in this role. So I'm surprised to hear you say that. Like I actually feel you process things a lot and then you react, which is a really great thing.
Well, I was not this way some years ago.
Okay,
like in high school, I was, oh my God. I'm such a different person now. So it's
Sabina used to do our support too.
And yeah.
I would hear her scream. She'd be like,
she was pissed.
I would hear her because she was in that room over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, there's beauty to things and then there's not so beautiful things. And I think that's what's fun about the podcast. You get to hear like the real stuff.
Yeah.
Not just what we post.
In terms of interns too, I feel like these interns, for example, have experienced things that our previous interns didn't experience, that our previous ones didn't experience. Mm-hmm. And I only think that we've gotten better as the program has gone on.
I would hope so.
They are from UCF, everyone, mm-hmm. just so you know. They come from the communication school. But I feel like you guys have had a fun time being interns here. So I would like to believe. And they're nodding because they know they have to nod.
Yeah, no, they have to do that.
But no, I would like to say that, especially like the past 2 weeks, we've given them a lot of knowledge. They're obviously here on the podcast and they're mm-hmm. experiencing this. The other interns didn't get to experience podcasts.
Yeah, they didn't because we weren't doing it.
But a couple of them did get to experience the live journaling session on the Zoom.
That's right. That was a lot of fun.
And obviously we don't know if they'll be able to experience mm-hmm. that. So yeah, that's so just kind of how it is. Yeah.
It brings different things. So I think that's fun.
Awesome. Okay. Do you feel like Offline Humans is giving you a sense of identity outside of Natalie's outlet?
Was this a question you came up with your lovely heart, or did you ask ChatGPT?
No, my fingers input the question and then chat actually articulated it.
That's really funny. What was the question again? Where is it?
Do you feel like Offline Humans has given you a sense of identity outside of Natalie's outlet?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think like, as like, okay.
Can I actually answer it
yes,
first?
And I know go that for I it. Go you. For it. No. I think that's great.
It all goes into my Instagram bio. I actually consider myself co-founder Offline Humans.
You are. You absolutely
which
are.
Which is something that I could never have said about Natalie's outlet. I was very much a part of it.
So much.
I was in it for years and years and years, but I can't say that I created it with you.
Right? Yeah.
It was, I was there since its inception. You did it. The whole concept derived from you.
I mean, it's so much you as it is me that people recognize you more than me.
That is true.
That's the part that I'm like, wait, do I not look like they'll always be like, are you Dennis?
Yes.
And then it's like, wait, are you Natalie? I'm like, do I look so different online? I don't know what it is, but
I'm the visual confirmation that we are who we are.
I think it's your curly hair. You have like a very distinct, like anyways, but long story short, yes. I could totally relate with what you just said.
I feel more of an attachment to Offline Humans just because people are enjoying the product that mm-hmm. I negotiated things mm-hmm. to be come into creation. And then obviously we all like agree on the looks and what it is. And you give me like the idea.
It's
and
a
stuff
very
like that.
Team effort. I think yes. that's what's also kind of fun. Like there'll be a lot of times where you'll throw something up. Like for example, we're working on a tote bag, right? But it's not just you and myself. Like you will literally be like, hey, Francely, what are your thoughts on this? You know? And I think those perspectives are very important because we only have one like very hindsight way of looking at things. And mm-hmm. it's always great to explore others. So
I did want to talk about just the idea of Offline Humans. I know that we kind of touched on it at the beginning, mm-hmm. but it's like disconnecting. We're in a very like connected social media kind of age. And just in general, like, it's kind of ironic. You say it all the time that we are like the social media page. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, you shouldn't be online and you should kind of go and touch grass and you should do this kind of stuff. Right.
But we've been doing social media for this long. Yeah. That's why I'm saying there's like a balance to it.
Do you feel like this generation of everyone, is yearning for a time without phones or with like being less connected?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I know for myself, like I've heard millennials were that last generation we were at the cuff of what technology was and what it wasn't. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like the biggest thing I remember, and this was a big thing back in school, was people would have MySpace and you would have a top six. And if you weren't on your best friend's top six, it was drama.
It was an issue.
So I can't imagine like now there's so many like, I don't know, like assets of like social media. But I think what really struck me is you told me something the other day. You were like, that this kid was asked, hey, what cartoons do you watch? And his response was, what are cartoons? I watch Twitch.
Yeah, I watch streamers.
And I just had a moment.
Isn't that crazy?
Where I was like, oh, you know, you don't know what it's like to wake up with morning cartoons or to kind of have a slow, like, I don't know, storyline, like cartoons teach you lessons and things. And Cartoon Network is out of business.
Cartoon Network doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist. Like that makes me sad.
The studio, the production company, the channel exists. Oof. But the concept that there's kids growing up without cartoons is like wild to me.
More than just that, it's like that they're growing up, like for example, there's been articles showing of a little baby will literally do this to like paper because they're so used to like scrolling doing that on an iPad. So I don't know what it looks like. For example, I think a lot about like when we have kids, what's that going to look like? Because I think we might be a bit extreme because we were that generation that knew what it was like to not have it. So it's like, maybe now we're scared. I don't know what it's about.
Retraining everyone.
Yeah.
I watched a video by Casey, who doesn't post very often, but Casey posted 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Casey Neistat.
Casey Neistat. And it was the future of like tech and everyone. Mm. And so Facebook and or Meta and Apple are going towards glasses, like really hard. Like they believe that the future isn't on a phone anymore, that it is on your glasses. Whoa. Right. And so
that's crazy. Imagine an era
where before phones and then after phones, right? Wow. Like that is what they're trying to get to. And, but no one knows what it is. They're trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not opposed. I just want to like make that clear. Like I love technology and I really appreciate it. I just think there's like certain boundaries that we should set for like our own, you know, well-being. But going off of that, cause that sounds really crazy for you to be like, the next thing will be glasses versus a phone.
It's a wearable.
That reminds me of when people would say people would stop shooting horizontally and people would start shooting vertically. Yeah. And that I remember being like, absolutely not. Like, what do you capture vertically? Like, I don't believe that.
I remember.
And yeah. TikTok. Hello.
When we went to VidCon many years ago, they had one area that was closed by Instagram and it was all about IGTV. And this was like when Instagram first began with that vertical video and everyone's like, oh, that's not going to catch on. It's not going to work. And it didn't. It actually didn't end up working out. It
didn't work out. And I remember creators who were being paid big, big money for literally creating just vertical. And everybody was like, I don't think that's going to be a thing.
I think the big issue with that was that there was no like For You page.
There wasn't?
No, it wasn't a For You. It wasn't like given to you. It was still very much YouTube where you have to like select the person, you go into their account.
Wait, really? For Instagram? Do you guys remember that?
And then it's like IGTV, right? Oh. Whereas TikTok, and I never had a Musical.ly.
I did.
Oh my God, wait. I want to hear about your perspective with Musical.ly.
But wait, let me finish my point and then they can talk about Musical.ly. I believe Musical.ly was one of the first things to have that For You page style scrolling up and down where you get people that you don't normally watch.
Was it? Can we affirm that?
And I think that Vine was actually the same way. I don't know if in Vine you could select people. I think it was random. It's that randomness of fresh people and fresh content. And they're not necessarily creators, you know, like they're the average person with a viral video that keeps content fresh, you know?
Okay, so I want to hear about your Musical.ly stuff, guys.
It was just super fun because you didn't have to put a lot of effort. Like now, it's just something I complain about a lot because I do like social media. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you have to do it everything like so much. Like before TikTok, it was just like, okay, I'll post a quick video. And now it's like, you have to cut it. You have to add captions. You have to add sound effects. It's just like way too much now, I think.
What do you guys think about Musical.ly or what do you remember about it?
I loved it.
I wanted to have like one of the crowns.
Oh,
like, yeah.
What was the crown?
It was like if you were like a big creator, you mm-hmm. get like a crown.
Oh, interesting. Like on your profile or? Yeah. Oh, interesting.
What about
like
you, Natalie?
Verifying.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
I just know it was just like people lip singing really. I think that was like the start of it because nobody was really like showcasing a talent. They were just kind of lip singing or dancing.
I know we had friends that moved over to music. Like they didn't move over. They were YouTubers and Musical.ly mm-hmm. people, but they grew really fast. And all those followers transitioned to TikTok. So now they currently all have massive TikTok audiences from Musical.ly, over 10 million subs, but they don't create TikTok content. They blew up during the Musical.ly era.
Yeah. You know who I always remember? Lauren Gray. She was iconic with her like I never got to do Musical.ly, so I'll be honest, I don't know how to do the whole thing, but that's pretty cool now with transitions.
Yeah, but that phased out. Imagine someone doing that on TikTok right now. Unless
do they kind of do that?
Yeah, there's people doing it, and it's like a huge thing because it's like nostalgia now. Like that's nostalgic.
That's crazy.
Was that the girl who would make her head like spin?
No, that's that another girl. Else? That's another girl.
I remember that girl.
No, Lauren Gray was blonde.
Okay.
Blue eyes. Yeah.
The Musical.ly era.
The Musical.ly era.
The Musical.ly kids took over VidCon and they took over
Playlist. Oh my God. Live. That was funny when that happened, wasn't it?
And then they killed it.
They killed it.
It's over.
What do you mean?
musically like ended everything.
No, what do you mean? That's a very harsh opinion.
Musically destroyed everything.
Such a hater. No, these are the things. Usually, Dennis always has an opposing opinion, and that's great. That's what we want. But
originally, VidCon would be like, "Oh, YouTube, everybody's YouTubers," and then it changed. And then you would go to VidCon, and then there's like kids like painting like a dance in a corner. And
you're that's
like,
funny.
What the hell are they doing? And they're like, "Oh, we're doing a collab," and they're like,
"Yeah." Dancing and stuff. But that let me tell you something. Funny. But wait, are you a hater? Because it was easier technically.
That's what I'm saying.
And so that you're hating on the content. It's like the saying goes, evolve or die. Like you either get with it or you get
behind.
We
didn't evolve and we didn't die. And yet where's music?
No, I did. I did evolve. I had to go on TikTok.
They're on TikTok.
Yeah, I had to go on TikTok and we were late to the game, honey.
Yeah, but we killed it.
Okay. Anyways, well, that was a time.
TikTok was a very big transition for us, wasn't it?
Oh my God. I couldn't understand how you take long. I couldn't understand. It's like a different way of thinking. It's like, cause I've sat down and, you know, created videos over 10 minutes. Now it's like, how do I do that? But short, I truly didn't get it.
Do you think you transitioning your mind into short form messed with your long form?
Oh, 100,000,000%.
It made
it so hard
to go back and reverse.
Yeah. I still don't. Like I do find my precious time of the day is when I watch like a YouTube video and I'm like eating dinner. It's nice and slow. I don't know if I know what that's like anymore because I'm just so overstimulated with like the other content. Like I really have to draw back a lot of the time, you know, that's why I have my hours.
I do want to say TikTok has been so key and so essential to just offline humans in general.
It really has.
The amount of sales and impact that TikTok has on like selling has been crazy.
And we're a small little like we have like what, 3,000 friends? How many do we have followers?
It's like 3,500.
4,000.
We just hit 4,000.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think like it's not about the numbers, because at the end of the day, if you have a product that sells and people are talking about, like we still get a lot of our purchases off our website alone, which is really a really great thing. TikTok has become like an addition to that. And before, we were doing things just off Instagram. You remember?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Every platform has like their thing. You know, I remember one of my friends, for example, Cassie talks about this in, I always say their name wrong, Colin and Samir. They talk about how their number one like selling platform is Instagram. Mm. And their number two is YouTube Shorts.
I wonder if fashion is just like a different thing.
Oh, 100%. It must be.
I feel like TikTok is very much like gadgety, stationary, I see so much like car washing stuff. I'm like, okay.
There's everything. I don't think you know the depths of it yet.
TikTok shop.
Cause I mean, look, Sabina used to literally get her cat stuff, like her cat litter. And she was a fan. She was such a fan. She'd talk about that cat litter all the time. TikTok shop.
She loved Gumbus.
No. And yesterday we were talking to Francelli about this, how you can get makeup for so much cheaper on TikTok.
But what is, why?
Why? Just like with us.
What is the brand? We never really heavily discount on TikTok.
No, it does it for you.
I know.
Even if it's a dollar, like it starts to add up.
It's still crazy though, how a lot of these companies are willing to give that discount on TikTok, but not anywhere else.
No, it's TikTok. TikTok puts money to the business so you can lower the price. And that's why they choose TikTok. Exactly. Like people choose to buy in TikTok shop.
Do you ever feel like TikTok is just one big scam that we're all just in?
I don't think so, honey. What are you talking about?
It brings me back.
Know, you're making us look bad.
Like the TikTok funded stuff. Like, where is that coming from? Like,
who cares?
It's crazy.
It reminds me of
what's that one thing we used to do?
You Now. Yeah, that was a time.
Ooh.
You Now was a live platform that we would go on live.
Yeah.
And we'd make like $400
per live,
just like an hour of us messing around, not doing anything. And I remember one time Dennis is like, who are these people? like, is this real or not? And I guess we started to feel like it was like dirty money or something. We're like, let's get off.
Some weird Russian experiment or something.
I don't know. Anyways. Yeah.
Being offline. So the next topic I had is a little bit different. It is more along the lines of the Natalie and Dennis show.
Okay.
But there's been a statistic that's shown that drinking alcohol has gone down in the US by 54%. Mm. And a lot of people attest it to being less socially acceptable.
Drinking alcohol?
Yeah, drinking alcohol. It's more frowned upon versus before. It is becoming the cigarettes of this era. That's how a lot of people have mentioned it.
Because I think that's like the other ones. It's not the cigarettes, but what are those called? The
vaping?
Vapes. The vaping? Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was where people are sort of going. I haven't heard about that one, the alcohol.
How many of us now that we're, how many of us are in this room? Five? How many of us know someone who vapes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
100%.
When they vape, do you judge a little bit? Sort of, no. Kind of.
Yeah, you guys can chat. Can talk, definitely, please. That's why we gave you a mic.
I don't judge them. I don't want to say, but I view it as like kind of like unhealthy. I don't know. I see it kind of how the cigarettes have
been. Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. Like I'm kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
What about cigarettes versus vaping? Do you see a different thing in your mind or is it similar-ish, different?
I feel like it's similar.
Yeah. I feel like it's similar.
Well, I think it's interesting because a lot of like fashion girls that I follow, it's like a cigarette is their accessory. Mm. Is it a European thing?
It is very French.
It's so European. Wait, actually, that reminds me. When we went to Spain.
Awful.
I remember. Okay, but I think this is the American in us because I do think that, again, Europe is different, right? Mm-hmm. I remember sitting next to a mother and her friend, and then there was a baby in the middle. And the friend was just going off smoking. And I low-key was like judging. I was like, what? The baby is there, you know, dude. I was like, all these statistics, because, you know, elementary school, the DARE program, I feel like they really scare the hell out of you, right?
Yeah. Have you guys seen like the memes?
Which one?
That Europeans, their breakfast is literally a cigarette and a Coke. Or like cigarette and wine. It's
what a vibe.
Random. Yeah.
So I remember I was judging her there. And then I was like, I can't believe it. I can't believe she lets her friend like smoke in front of her baby. And then the second after I look, they're like passing the blunt. And I'm like, what?
Blunt?
Or whatever it is. Cigarette. The cigarette. Sorry. Can you tell? I don't. Anyways. So yeah.
Do we judge people who drink? I want to ask you guys that. You don't. What about you, Francine?
No, I don't.
What about you, Nana?
I don't.
Okay. What about people who drink on like on YouTube and on socials? I don't know if you guys remember, but there was like this one thing that was like something drink or something, and they would do like Q&As.
It was drink or dare.
Truth or dare? No.
Truth or drink. Yeah.
That was very popular.
Yeah. No, I think the reason you might be saying that, but I'm speaking for you, is because a lot of the lifestyle girls that were... had very young audiences started doing that. But let's be honest, they were older now. And let's be honest, they were doing back to school content when they weren't in back, like when they weren't in school.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think I get them in that sense. That's all I had to say about that.
I do think like us as influencers are very like, we have a lot of responsibility.
You think?
Believe it or not. Yeah.
I hate seeing it that way though, to be honest.
We do though, whether we like it or not. I remember going back to the Musical.ly era, going back to VidCon. We hopped in one of the black SUVs that take you to and from VidCon whenever you're in the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had these two like very, very Musical.ly kids.
Mm-hmm. They were young.
In the car.
They were definitely not 21.
They were definitely about 14.
Oh, or wow. 15. Yeah, they probably were.
And they were vaping. In the car. They couldn't even wait till we got there.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I remember the first time I had someone in my college class at UCF vape in class. That was when vaping first started. Mm. And so like psychologically, I think as a kid, you start to think certain things are cool. Mm. And like, you know, streamers have a lot of power now and affect kids and what they do. So whatever,
that's so true.
Whatever streamer does, the kid's going to go and do it. Just like you said, cartoons earlier today.
Yeah.
Cartoons didn't drink. Cartoons didn't do that, right? And so, like,
I think
that's very
Tom and Jerry. See, it depends on the generation.
Regulations. It goes through regulations, and then it's like checks, and then FCC guidelines and all that stuff.
And I think that's why it's so difficult because, like, every generation has a point of view on what is good and what is bad based off of like what you've been taught or what you've seen firsthand, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, like,
I do got to say, I've noticed more people not drinking. And it's been okay that they don't drink at parties and stuff, and no one like forces it upon them.
But do you think it's because you're in a space where like you care about your health? You're more like at the gym. You like, for example, let's say one of my friends who's really into concerts and stuff like that. She, and she's also in Colorado. There's a lot of weed. So mm-hmm. like, I think it's just geographically where you are too.
I think it's wellness culture.
Wellness culture.
In general.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Right. I feel like we're all much more conscious about what is like, I mean, everybody's eating organic.
And like, not everybody.
A lot of people strive. Uh-huh. Before, well, let me start. Mm-hmm. A lot of people strive to eat organically, grow things, make like changes, small incremental changes. Before, my mom just used to buy bananas. It doesn't matter if it's organic or not. She just get it because they're cheaper. Now, like someone would be willing to pay more for something that's organic. Yeah.
I think we go through health phases because like, think about running. Why did running get so popular? Like, I remember, talk to me, Natalie. Natalie's over there mouthing me, but talk to me. I want to hear. She's like,
I have a half marathon at the end of October. Shoot,
congrats. So how's that been?
I haven't been able to train recently. Just kind of
been you've been sick. Yeah. But what influenced you to start running? Were you a runner?
No, I saw the Disney full marathon. My best friend is a runner. So she got into running from her boyfriend. It's like an Ironman doer. So I think she's kind of like, you see somebody do it, you're inspired, and then you do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I feel there's definitely been like a whole, you said wellness. So that reminded me of like this whole thing of girls all of a sudden wanting to run. And like, I feel like I've seen it more, run clubs, right? Run clubs, run meetups.
Wellness in general.
Wellness. I think.
Go ahead.
Have you guys seen that there's like now, instead of going to the club, you go like to a coffee, shop, like in the middle of the day, and they play like there's a DJ.
It's so cute.
It's so random.
It's called soft clubbing. It's a new thing. Really? I think I'd be into that.
You're a soft clubber.
Yeah. I think I've never been, but I think I would be a soft clubber because I just can't with loud noise. Like I don't like clubs. I don't like, you know.
Social media has changed everything. It's crazy to believe, but I remember, I've been going to the gym for a very long time. Mm. I'm a gym rat kind of guy. I spend my time there. And then all of a sudden the gym became popular. It just became a thing.
Totally. Like Pilates.
Yeah. But like in terms of like clothing too, Gymshark started popping off and all of a sudden it's like that one, Young LA. And then it's like Honor Active and it's all these things. And then like I started seeing, first of all, the clothing started to change. The type of people that went started to change. And then it got so crowded. The gym started getting crowded. And I'm like,
but you don't own the gym.
I'm a shift to running. Run clubs. And I can't get away from it. Like, it's crazy. And then, but guess what? Now the gyms are starting to get empty.
Oh, interesting.
And everybody's shifting to outdoor stuff. Rock climbing got really popular for a while.
It did get really
everybody
popular.
Shifted. And it,
Pilates also got super popular too, where it was like, do you want to look like this? Go to take Pilates. I took Pilates. I didn't look like that because Pilates I don't eat princess. Like that. Yeah. It's like, what?
I do want to say that the first form of this was CrossFit. Okay. I feel like CrossFit was very like in social media and you were so proud. I do CrossFit. And people would say, I'm a CrossFitter. I do this. And now it's Helix.
Hydrox. There's something high.
There's
something.
This new thing that I know people are doing.
Hyrox. I don't know. Something like that.
It combines cardio with weightlifting and like all these things. And now everybody wants to do a goddamn Ironman. Everybody is like in their era of like wellness, BNS sport.
So do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know if it's real.
Are we too easily influenced?
That's what I'm trying to get at. People are being influenced into thinking that that's what they want.
I think about that a lot, actually.
And I don't know if they genuinely like running. How many people are in run clubs that don't like running? They're just
Natalie.
Like,
do like, wait.
I like it sometimes. Like sometimes there's runs that I'm like, wait, do I even enjoy this?
Am I miserable?
It's the social aspect of it. She wants to be with her friend. She saw her friend and they want to hang out and it's healthy. And so they see it as much better than drinking. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like the healthiness is going, although it's positive.
Yeah.
Right. But how long is it going to last? You know, how long is running going to be popular? I think it's going to go away. Pilates is going to go away. People are already hating on people that go to Pilates. Think the concept of it. There's this one chick that got flamed so bad because she was like promoting Pilates, but that it was like a what's that one bag? What's that? Do you guys remember that one fashion brand? It was like this bag, right? She was comparing Pilates to this high end bag, saying, "Oh, it's supposed to be like special and like only certain people can afford it."
A Birkin?
No. Gosh, if you guys know in the comments, please write it down. Mm-hmm. It's like escaping me. But Pilates is expensive.
$45 a class. Yes, hello.
$45 a class, and that's what it costs for a monthly subscription to a gym. A gym could even be cheaper than one Pilates class. Think about that. Is that normal? Is that normal?
Dennis for president.
I think it's expensive because of the equipment, but the gym is also like, there's a lot of expensive stuff there. So it doesn't make
sense. Yes, it makes no sense. They fabricated Pilates to make people believe that it is an expensive thing to do when you're just on a reformer moving around with an instructor.
Well, you know, something else, the run clubs, right? So I went to a run club and I was like, oh yeah, like cool, whatever. I went, I think by myself, I can't remember, or maybe with someone, but then all of a sudden I was like, are people here to date? Like everybody feels a little, and actually they created something where it was like, if you wear black, you're single. If you wear red, you're taken. If you wear blah, blah, blah. And I just started feeling a little weird. I'm like, wait, I'm a married woman. What am I doing? Or I can be here, but it kind of felt more like less of a run, more of a dating scene.
Run clubs became the thing of promiscuous people.
Really?
It really has. It's shifted. But you know,
I don't know about that.
It really has. It's changed.
Really?
I've thought of going to a running club just to meet new people. Wait,
Franzelli heard the promiscuous.
No. Like I have a friend and we don't run at all, but we're like, oh, we should start to go like to the gym and like,
yeah.
Start to like train so we could go to a run club and meet new people. But
that's great. You should do it.
But like
all speeds are welcome.
Okay. go to your local run club's Instagram account and look at the kind of people that they promote through their socials.
They have hot people.
Yes. They have a vision and an idea of who they want in the club and what will attract others. They're marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The barrier for entry for all of these things is getting higher and higher. You have to get hotter. Things are getting more expensive. You know how much a freaking Garmin watch is nowadays? A Garmin watch is $1,000 to get into running.
Oh, wow.
Running,
that's a computer.
Running, you run. It's cheap.
It's free.
It's free. But get into a marathon, you have to pay. You have to pay to get into a marathon.
Really? How much are you paying, Natalie?
It's like $35, like, $40. Well,
no.
It's more.
Well, I'm doing Disney, so mine is like $250.
Oh my God. What? To suffer. Yes. But wait, but you get to go around the parks and see it.
It's going That's through kind of an experience. Epcot and Hollywood Studios.
Yes. That's kind of fun. Okay. That's kind of fun. I like that.
But this is a twist, right?
But you're right. You do have to pay.
There are influencers that are getting into marathons who don't have to pay, who don't have to meet the time requirements and the effort to enter marathons.
Yeah, that is wrong.
I think it's the Boston Marathon has secured like 200 to 300 spots just for influencers. And that takes away from other people.
From actual people training. From
actual runners. Yes.
So they're doing it to have their audiences
promoted
more and all that. Yeah. Well, I think we hit an hour.
You think?
Yeah,
I think so. Did we hit an hour, Franzelli? How long have we been
on? Look, 58 minutes.
50, okay.
Is there anything we want to close out with?
We do have the Dennis's fun facts of the day.
Hey, do we get a little jingle for that?
No, she doesn't know how to do that.
Oh, next time, Franzelli, can we create a ding, ding,
we'll
ding,
have a little
ding,
jingle.
I can try. Click all the buttons.
No. And then, no. Let's not do that.
All right, ready? I have two fun facts of the day. This is obviously from season 1 and 2. This is moving on to season 3. So Dennis's fun facts. Did you guys know that college graduates who join fraternities have higher incomes despite their lower grades?
Really? Because it's all about networking.
It's all about networking.
That's probably what it comes down to.
That is something that I regret from college. I didn't go out at all. I didn't talk to anyone. I just got a 4.0 GPA, but I didn't get a job. So there you go. I ended up here.
No, they always say you look at your network of people. Let's say you need something. Start asking 7 people. Those 7 people can help you with other seven. It's like this marketing.
It's like branches. Thing.
Yeah. So I actually believe that because I do believe that there's a lot of it's networking. Like
it's all networking.
How you, follow up with people, all this stuff. So
yeah.
One thing I regret, now that you mentioned regret, is I used to be somebody who, what's the word? My own self, like I wouldn't respond back to people quickly enough. And I would do that out of my own, like, oh, but it's not good for me. Like I'm stressed out to respond, you know, or I would just like leave it off and off and off. And you could lose a lot of opportunities by not being like quick to respond.
Responsive. Yeah.
That's something, responsiveness that I've learned. You got to be responsive.
The next fun fact. So wealth consultants were actually hired for the show Succession. I don't know if you guys have seen Succession before.
Oh yeah. It's like a rich person show.
Yeah. And so they told them not to duck their heads when exiting the helicopter, because you would have been doing that for your whole life. And you would have known already that the helicopter will not chop your head off. So
the actors were very rich in the show.
Super extremely rich beyond your imagination.
And so a typical person would have the luxury to always be in a helicopter. Yes. Therefore, you're not going to duck your head, even though that's your instinct to do it.
Yeah.
So they had to tell them, hey,
stand up straight
while this blade is going like that.
And don't duck, because at that point you would have known you're fine. You can't.
You would have known you're actually poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one thing that they also consulted them was that rich people never wear outerwear. They don't wear sweaters. They don't wear jackets, because their car always drops them off at the entrance, and they'll never experience the cold.
Wow.
There you go.
Interesting.
Well, that's it, everyone. And that's the Natalie and Dennis show.
Wow. We are back. We're so excited to be here with you every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
What time?
4 p.m. Eastern
every
time.
Friday, 4 p.m.
Eastern time.
Yes. Awesome.
Make sure that you stay connected with us over on all the socials.
Yeah,
we are updating you guys on everything new. And we're also thinking about potentially starting a Discord for this community. We'll see.
Yeah. You can also listen to us on Spotify and Apple podcasts. Mm-hmm. So you can check us out over there on your lunch break or in the car. You can listen as opposed to watch. You don't do that. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in to today's episode.
Thank you. This
we'll
is
be
great.
Here next Friday. Goodbye.